The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Thank you all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. Want to give a big shout out to Mr. William over at Williams Tire in Danville, Georgia. Thank you for being a proud sponsor of the show. Nobles Networking, thank you for all you do for us. Chris, hooking us up with the best internet in Middle Georgia. Red Circle, the management company, for putting some change in my pocket. All the corporate sponsors. I heard Allstate and DraftKings on my show a while ago, and I about shit myself. So thank you. I very much appreciate it. And for all the fans listening, you know, what we do is I do it for y'all. Y'all like real, and I try to be as real and raw and as informative as possible. I also try to bring you good music. And we haven't done a music show in a while, probably about a month from now or a month ago. And I found this dude who looks like me, who if I could sing, I would want to sound like this cat. His lyrics are strong. I want to introduce y'all, if you're not already following him on TikTok and his other social media pages, Mr. Brian Andrews. What's up, big guy?
What's up, man?
You look like you belong in our family.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that, man.
This is a big cornfed boy right here, country boy. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from Carrollton, Missouri.
You know, everything in the past month has told me I need to go to Missouri.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's insane.
It's a good time.
Did you just go to, what was it, the Stanton, or was it, wasn't there just a big music festival there in the past couple of days?
It was a Summerfest thing we did down in South Missouri, down in West Plains.
Was that where Luke Combs and everybody was?
No, they probably did. You're talking about Country Stampede, probably. Yeah, that's like, Bonner Springs, Kansas, I think is where it was.
Okay. Yeah. I can't ever remember shit, dude.
It's pretty close to Kansas City, so.
I got you. Well, before we get started, drop your social media handles where they can find you at.
Yeah, it's all at Brian Andrews Music with a Y, spell Brian with a Y, but yeah, it's all the same thing. So that way it's easy for everybody to find. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok is my big thing. You know, I'm up to like 668,000 followers on there, so. That's my big one, but yeah, just Brian Andrews Music.
Did you start blowing up on TikTok when you started posting your music videos, or did you get a TikTok to post your music videos?
Well, I got TikTok to kind of just watch videos, you know, because all my buddies had it. So yeah, to like watch funny stuff. And then, you know, I seen other people kind of start doing the whole music thing on there, and I was like, dude, I might as well try this. You know, I was working on the road at the time. And so that's what I started doing, was just posting on there. And then I kind of started doing like comedy stuff on there too, you know, just like telling jokes or like, you know, just talking about random stuff, and started getting traction doing that stuff. And then I started posting my music quite a bit, and that's when it just exploded.
Yeah. I can't remember. You're one of the actual few people that I was already following you before I messaged you. It seems like you might've had a song at some point in time, maybe about like taking pills or something.
Yeah. Liquor and pills. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Second I heard that, you got an instant follow. And I was like, okay, I want to check this cat out. I like shit like that. I like real shit. And I was following you already. And then I was like, you know what? The show's blowing up. We're doing real good. It's about got to where I can reach out to people now. They can look me up to see I'm not just like some dude in his basement and with a podcast. Yeah, and see it's got a little traction to it. So I was like, I want to see if I get this guy on my show. And
absolutely.
I enjoy what you do. I really do. You're one of the few people that I actually knew before I asked you, well, not no, but
right.
knew who you were on social media before I asked you to do it.
Right. Thanks, man. I really appreciate the time to have me on here.
Well, dude, I saw last year, it's something that completely like blew my mind, is when I was working in radio, I saw how I think the tide's about to change in country music. How we used to have the Outlaws and we had 90s country, and now we had this pop shit the past 20 years. And and I feel like it's changing. And all the musicians that I'm getting to know that are either in Nashville or on their way or whatever, or out in Texas, they all got the same like feel. It's like badass. It's a mix between 90s country and outlaw country.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the next wave. I feel like that's the next, like the next thing in country music. And I'm trying to just, you know, kiss y'all's ass and get on the road, or, you know,
yeah.
I'm trying to be in the VIP sections everywhere.
Yes, absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know?
But so let's start with this. What got you started in wanting to do music?
Well, both my folks are actually music teachers. You know, they're from a small town too, but from actually my hometown. My dad grew up around here. We got our family farm here and everything. But he's the band director here at the high school. So when I was in high school, you know, I did a lot of music stuff anyway. And then I went to college for a few years and was a music major in college for like 2.5 years before I dropped out. And then, you know, I started learning guitar when I was like 17 and I learned how to play, you know, G, C, and D. And then, you know, some other chords came along with it and everything. And then I just started writing my own songs because I was going through some stuff at the time and just wanted to, you know, learn how to write for myself. And then when I started working on the road, then it was pretty wild after that. So, you know, that's when I really started writing hard. And, you know, because I always wanted music to stay a part of my life. And I felt like when I left college, you know, it was just not really there. You know, I was welding and everything every day. So that's when I started really writing hard.
How old are you?
24.
24? Oh, you got plenty of time.
Yeah.
You got plenty of time. Have a lot of people reached out to you since you started with the TikTok and it blowing up and everything, like any musicians or anybody wanting to write with you or anything like that?
Yeah. I've actually gotten write with a lot of people now. You know, just like, I think the biggest thing for me is like finding other artists on TikTok that are also, you know, taking advantage of it and, you know, want similar styles to myself, you know, wanting to, you know, do collabs, stuff like that. I've gotten to meet some great people. I don't know if anybody here knows Rashad, but you guys being from Georgia, you might know who he is.
The black fella who was on Dick Down in Dallas remix, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I haven't gotten to meet him, but I heard he's an extremely nice guy.
He's one of the greatest dudes I've ever got to talk to. I mean, just super down to earth, you know, just a great guy. And he's a great writer. I mean, he's got some great songs out and he's got some good music coming out. I mean, he just put out Raised Up and Home to Me. They're both bangers. So if you guys haven't listened to him, go listen to him. And, you know, I went to Nashville once. I got to meet Tyler Booth. He's another guy that's just such a great dude.
He's a Georgia boy.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, like, I think working with guys that are also on the come up, you know, that's kind of what I want to start doing as far as like guys that have already made it. You know, like I'm a huge fan of like Hardy, Co. Wetzel, them guys, or you know, they haven't reached out or anything. I'm not even sure that they know, you know, I exist or anything, but it's all good. I still love to listen to their music and everything. And I'm not, you know, trying to chase anybody else's clout either or anything like that. So
I am. Yeah. I'll go and tell you there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is this is how I look at it, is it ain't their fault they don't know about you. It ain't their fault that they don't see you the way that they might see other people. If you don't push yourself and you don't kind of like believe in yourself and market yourself towards these people, then, you know, there's a good chance they won't find out. Because, I mean, if you know what it's like in Nashville – you don't always get to write who you want to write with. You end up, unless you know somebody to hook you up with who you want, then you get put with whoever your pub deal says, hey, you got to write with these people. It's hard. I'm lucky enough to where my friends up there, they all write with the people they're supposed to, but then they'll write with whoever they want to as well.
Right.
And I think they dig you. You're one of the folks that, like, there's also this other guy, and I can't remember his name. He almost sounds like Co. Wetzel, but if Co. Wetzel was a little more grungy than he is. I don't remember his name. He's a cowboy.
Warren Zager. Warren,
yep, that guy right there.
Yeah, like, he's great.
I think y'all two are the two that's got the most unique voice that I've heard. And, like, people I would actually listen to your music on TikTok. That's not already out on tour opening up for somebody or whatever.
Right.
Y'all are very authentic, it seems like.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I know Warren too, and he's a great dude also. It's just, you know, being as real as you can is the key, I think, you know, when you are starting to write your own music and finally starting to get traction and getting out there and stuff like that. And staying true to yourself. That's why I haven't personally made the move to Nashville yet. You know, I mean, also I got bills and stuff like that. I can't just pack up and leave, but
I don't think you have to live in Nashville anymore to be successful in country music.
Nope. You do not have to. I think especially when you're first starting, I mean, growing your audience where you're at, social media is such a big part of it anyway, because I don't think really even labels are going to talk to you if you don't have a following, you know?
No, we've got a friend, Priscilla Block, and mm-hmm. Priscilla has always been just as talented as she is now.
Right.
But before she blew up on TikTok, I don't know how much she got noticed or whatever.
Yeah, and that's now, what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you got to do. You got to blow up on social media. Trey Lewis has been around Nashville for
10 years.
Fucking
like
10 years, and is a great songwriter. He's got songs – like Dick Down in Dallas is just a party anthem. All it is. It's just a party anthem. He's got a couple of songs that are, I'm talking about bangers, that people, just because it wasn't successful on TikTok or social media, they hadn't paid him no attention. Well, now he did a show for me in December of last year. From what I paid him in December when Dick Down first came out to what he makes now, he's making like 10 grand plus a show. And I think I paid him like 2,500. And all it takes is like one time. It takes one song to blow you up, to get in the public eye. And then everybody wants a piece of you.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. I mean, you take a look at anybody on TikTok right now that, you know, I mean, I know Trey and Priscilla were in Nashville already, but like, look at Rashad, you know, he's been in Georgia this whole time. Warren, he lives in Pennsylvania, and I'm pretty sure with his covers and stuff that he was putting out on Spotify that everybody was loving, he was like recording them especially his first single On the Run. I know he recorded that in like his bedroom or something and put it out, and it had like 2 million streams on Spotify alone in like 2-3 months. So, I mean, you just like, if you're talented and you're authentic, people are going to know, you know, and people are going to gravitate towards you and stuff like that. And I think a big thing of social media too is also showing your personality, you know? And so that's where I kind of take advantage of it, because I'm not the best singer out there and I'm definitely not the best songwriter, but I'm going to always, you know, write lyrics that I know I personally grew up relating to and stuff that I know other people can also. So,
well, I think what makes a good songwriter a good songwriter is when it is personal experience,
right?
Like when it is, when you say some shit that cuts like a knife to your listener, it's usually somebody who's been through that.
Oh, and for sure.
Your shit's way more relatable to me than stuff I hear that's poppy. Poppy makes no sense to me. Like, I get people wanting to just have a good time or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, they hate when they hear my playlist, like if we're drinking at the studio or whatever we're doing, because they're like, are you sad? I'm not fucking sad. This is just a good song.
Right. No, I totally feel that. You know, when I go to play my shows, I always say, you know, I ain't going to promise to play the best beer drinking song or the best party song tonight or whatever it may be that you're looking for, but I promise you'll leave this, you know, this concert or whatever, this show, you know, actually feeling something. So
that's what music is about, dude.
Yeah, it is. That is. I watched Jelly Roll on the Earnest podcast not too long ago talk about, you know, like when you're riding in a car, we as musicians and artists get 3 minutes to jump in your car with you and make you feel something, or make you happy when you're sad, or make you, you know, feel like you're not alone. So I think that's the big, you know, if you're not playing my music at the beach, or, you know, at the beach bar, at the lake or whatever, that's fine with me. But if you're sitting in your car at 3 a.m. listening to it because you've had too many drinks or whatever, and you actually feel like somebody's sitting there with you, then that's what I want. So,
absolutely. The best musician going right now, and I've seen him live, so it's hard for me to say anybody's as good as Sturgill Simpson.
Right.
But you don't hear a Sturgill song on the radio, and he's without a doubt the most talented in-person musician I have ever seen. I saw him and Tyler Childers at the same time, and I lost my fucking mind. Like, it was just this most amazing show I've ever seen. But you're not going to hear that stuff, because it's not – I always tell people it's just not comfortable.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's not comfortable. Exactly, perfect way to put it. Perfect way to put it. That's why, like, you know, I think I've got on radio spins on liquor and pills, I think I've got like 40,000 and it's got like 3 million streams or something like that, you know. So out of 40,000 people that have played it on the radio, you know, a lot of radio stations aren't going to play a song that talks about doing drugs, you know, which is fine. But, you know, I'm not here to hold your hand, you know, or be some, you know.
Yeah. Well, country music radio is weird because if you listen to like urban radio, rap radio, every song that they have, and I like rap music. Like I love rap music. Like, but every song they got is about doing drugs, drinking, or sex. And that's okay to put out those songs on urban radio, but on country radio, it freaks people out. And I just don't understand why. It's real life.
It is. It is. And it's stuff that real people go through. You know, I think we're so accustomed to wanting it to be this like super Christian genre. And it's like, dude, life ain't always comfortable. You know, life ain't always easy. So.
No. And, you know, country music, it does have I'm a Christian. I'm just not a very good one.
Right.
But
yeah, I feel that. I'm the same way, man.
You know, it always blows my mind how country music tries to separate the two. But at the same time, they don't realize that they're losing. When you had Johnny Paycheck coming out with Old Violin, and he's talking in the same song about being drunk and whatever, but he's also talking about loving God. You should be able to put out whatever you want to on country radio, because it's country music is real music. It is the everyday. It is the everyday life for folks like me and you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the blue collar genre. I mean, it's just like, and you know, I think rock and roll used to be that way also. I think the rock genre has kind of been watered down some, but
I don't know what the rock genre is now.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm at with it. You know, I started kind of writing these, I think the term everybody's liking to use is the alternative. So that's what I use too. But like, kind of, you know, like I said earlier, throwing in some like pop punk stuff or punk rock stuff, you know, and like some rock and roll drums and stuff into my songs. So like a lot of times I'll release them as rock songs under the rock genre. So that way people don't get pissed at me when I, you know, when they see it on a country genre or something like that. But it's like, I think it's a good middle ground anyway. Country music and rock music are very similar in some aspects. So,
well, like especially back in the 60s and 70s, it's kind of hard to tell where country and rock wasn't to get like, You look at Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash was on the show on the road a lot with rockers.
Yeah,
I mean they just went hand in hand together. Elvis Presley. Yep. To this day, I still don't know what the fuck Elvis Presley was.
Exactly.
I don't know if he was country, if he was rock, but I don't really care. I liked it. You know.
Right. That's.
I mean.
That's the point I'm trying to make with my music right now is that, you know, you don't have to be confined to, you know, like, oh, he's not a country artist, so I'm gonna listen to him. Or, you know, whatever genre it is that you listen to, you don't have to be confined to those, you know, rules or whatever of how the music industry works now, because it just doesn't have to be that way. You know, music is real. Music is real. And I think that's where I'm trying to push it. You know, I'm trying to get more people listening to, you know, rock music or get more people listening to country music. I mean, you look at Poison, they came out with Every Rose Has Its Thorn and released it as a rock song, but that's a country song.
That's a country song. Yeah. 100%.
I mean, it uses G, C, D minor, or D and E minor. Like, that is a country song.
Country music don't even know what country music is anymore.
I know, man.
If you're not considering, they don't consider Tyler Childers country music. They consider it folk music.
Yeah, like Americana stuff. And I'm like, really?
Are you fucking stupid? It makes no sense. And then Poe Wetzel just comes in here melting faces, and they have no idea what to do with Coe Wetzel. He's the most confusing artist, but everybody listening to him are country folks. They're country folks. So it's country music.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't have to be defined by a certain thing, you know, if it's good or whatever. You know, it even got so bad that, like, I feel like that's how Texas country got that genre name.
Red Dirt Country. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they weren't writing stuff like, or putting stuff out, you know, like people in Nashville put out. But, you know, so it was all this like, oh, well, we don't want to be associated with that. So let's, you know, try to change it up. But like, I think Red Dirt Country and Texas country music is awesome. I mean, look at Go Wesel.
I think it's the best. I do not think that it gets – they don't get the recognition that they deserve, period.
No.
But you look at Cody Johnson, and you look at Co Wetzel, and you look at Aaron Watson, and you look at all these dudes. You go listen to their full albums and not just their singles, and you will not turn the album. Like, it's – they're all just so amazing. And I know that, like, I've got friends in Nashville that hate Nashville. They hate it because of what they're told to do now. But I grew up – I'm 33. So, like, I grew up here. My dad always playing Hank and Merle and Waylon and all this stuff. I like to think of, like, you and the other guys like Wetzel and some of my buddies and stuff as that outlaw type of person, because – when they came along and they started doing what they wanted to do, it became outlaw country. They didn't want to fit into that Nashville box. They didn't want to be sweet about it. And it became the best era in country music of all time.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I think that, like, and I'm not going to disrespect anybody's grind, you know, like in Nashville or whatever, you can write however you want to write. And if it's selling, you know, it's selling, whatever. I don't care, but I'm not going to start making music based on what I think a label might like or what I think might sound good on country radio. You know, I think I'm going to start, or, you know, just keep writing music that I think is relatable to my audience that I've gotten so far, and keep trying to push myself and push limits. You know, we just came out with a country metal song, and it was like, you know, it's like metalcore, it's like hard rock. And that's what we were like, you know, it doesn't have to be the rules thing. I wanted to see how far I could push my audience and to, you know, really, really push the people that I have grown around being a country artist into not just listening to one genre because it's called country music. You know what I mean? So
I think the genre of country music is fucked up because they quit listening to the fans and they started trying to tell the fans what was country music. I think that's what's so annoying to most of us.
Yeah, I think they got so consumed with trying to grow the whole genre itself, because, I mean, old school country music wasn't near as popular as the genre is now.
Yeah.
And so I think they got consumed with, like, wanting to get on radio stations everywhere, you know, in cities and stuff like that, which is totally fine. But I think people, even living in urban areas, can still relate to real songs, you know, raw lyrics. And
you got to turn on some old Turnpike and just let it ride. Turnpike, it don't matter what background you come from, Turnpike is going to make you think about some shit.
Exactly. And, you know, like, I mean, that's why I wrote, you know, Liquor and Pills. I'm sitting there talking about, you know, getting consumed with alcohol and drugs and stuff. The country people ain't the only people that can relate to that, you know. So that's where, you know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not hating on Nashville. There's some times where I want to, you know, but.
See, you're not supposed to, but I get to. So that's what the fun part is. You don't ever have to, or any of my guests. But it's a joke now.
Right. No, I feel it. I mean, like, I wrote a song that I'll probably put out someday called Nashville Mold, you know, because, like, when I go to Nashville, I just feel like it's so – you just feel like you're in this, you know, like, high school cafeteria where you have to sit with the people that like you or whatever, you know. And if you – and, you know, I mean, it's kind of like that vibe. And I'm not saying that everybody is like that down there, because they're definitely not. There's some really great people in Nashville.
There's some grinders there, dude. There's some nose to the grindstone ass folks still in Nashville.
Exactly. And I think a big thing about it is, you know, like, throwing shade or just feeling like people aren't accomplished because they got big on social media or got big on the internet or something like that, you know, and which is, like, totally, you know, like, don't be mad at me and disrespect my grind because I got big on the internet when I was out there working 12 hours a day, you know, welding pipe, sleeping by myself in dusty ass hotel rooms, you know? So, like, I'm not hating on you for going down to Music Row and putting your songs out there every single night. So don't hate on me for, you know, trying my way.
Well, like, I don't get on his ass, but my big brother, my best friend, Lee Tucker, you're going to see him at 3 or 4 rider rounds in Nashville a week. And And like, I love him for that grind, but that grind isn't the same for everybody. I like the idea of people doing what you're doing. I like the idea that people decided in Texas that they were going to do it the Texas fucking way. Mm-hmm. And like, even when you get somebody like Cody Jinks that's came out and publicly said, fuck Nashville. If they don't want to let us play here, we'll make a place to play. Yeah. I like that because I like that mindset of you're not stopping me.
Yeah, no.
I love it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I just wrote a song last night that because I got the idea in my head. I don't even know why I was thinking about it. But, you know, like I might never get to play on the stage of the Opry or get, you know, win a CMA award. But that's all right with me because as long as I'm small town famous, I don't really give a shit. I'll play in these mom and pop bars till the day I die, you know.
There's something special about the dudes that love playing in the hometown bars.
Oh, yeah.
There is, man. There's a group over here. They're called Dillagaff. Their lead singer is State Patrol officer. They're all probably in their 40s or like 35 and up. He's going to get mad at me, but I know that they're close to their 40s. And he's told me before, the biggest bar, country bar, honky-tonk, like real-ass fucking honky-tonk, they play at least once a month, and they'll play a couple other dive bars. But they're so happy just doing stuff their way and playing there that they don't really ever think about nothing else. They don't really ever – they don't care. And I think that's when with some people, it's not with everybody. But I think the second you decide, hey, I'm doing my own thing. I'm fitting into my own mold. I'm not going to do what they want me to do. You become an original. You become – your own fucking genre. You become your own brand. You don't need their help anymore.
Yep. And, you know, and like that's when they want you the most, you know, like we as artists, we like crave this approval from labels and, you know, publishing groups and stuff like that to hit us up all the time, you know, when we do something good. And that stuff's awesome, but they want you worse when you're just you, you know, when you stop trying to cater to them and you start catering to yourself and your fans, that's when they're like, holy shit. I mean, look at Zach Bryan, dude.
That dude exploded. I love Zach Bryan.
Yeah, anybody would have done anything to sign him.
Yeah. If he wasn't in the military, I promise he's already playing packed out arena shows if he's not in the military.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
he's probably the most popular up and comer. I mean, basically he's made it already anyway, but like he is.
I thought Parker McCullen was going to be that way, but I definitely hate the turn that he's kind of took with some of his music. Like I get why, but if once again, I hate people. I ain't never had $5 million put in front of me to say, hey, here, I want you to do this. There's a good chance I would change it, but me being who I am right now and not having one of those big checks in front of me, I would rather stay true to myself.
Right.
But like Parker, I have a hard time with, like, I just listened to some of his new stuff that came out yesterday or last Friday. And it just don't sound like he did a couple years ago.
Yeah, I haven't listened to the new stuff. I like when I first started listening to Parker McCollum, I didn't really, you know, listen to him all that much until probably last year. And then I started banging his stuff all the time. I mean, you know, Silhouette, you know, Galveston Bay, those old school songs. I started listening to him pretty hot and heavy there for a minute, but I haven't listened to his new stuff. I know I liked To Be Loved by You pretty well. I like that song.
That was good.
Yeah.
And then the last one he did about cowboys in the title,
like a cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Stapleton song too.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was Stapleton.
Yeah, he wrote that one.
Nice. I saw where Sturgill and Stapleton's going on tour this year, though. And oh my God, what a show.
Yeah, I think there was a couple – that's where I'm saying, you know, we're talking about, like, how new genres or new sounds are coming into the genre. And I think people disagree with me on it, but I think definitely Stapleton helps with that.
Oh, he does. I think he's one of the front runners that helps – who helped brought around this change.
Yeah, and I think, you know, kind of a lot of people disagree with this too, but I think Luke Combs kind of helped bring back the, like, 90s vibe.
He did. I don't disagree with you at all. If anybody disagrees that, they're dumbasses. He did.
Yeah, I think he definitely did with that. And, you know, they both helped bringing the narrative that you don't have to be this pretty boy anymore, you know? Yeah. Because you don't have to be, you know, and they prove that right there. That's why I say showing your personality is just as big as showing, you know, your music and stuff, because people can tell who you are as a person. You know what I mean? I've got tons of friends. I've been fat my whole life, though. You know what I mean? It ain't because I look good. Yeah.
Me too. We are big boys around here, my guy.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So it's stuff like that, you know. And even Hardy, you know, I'm a huge Hardy fan because he's throwing in like the rock and roll thing. And that, I love that sound, dude. I'm probably listening to him more than I'm listening to anybody else right now. Him and Coe Wetzel.
Hardy's album that he came out with, it's got a rock on it and all that stuff. All that. Everyone's a banger. There's not a bad song on that album.
Yeah.
And he's got a couple on there that are just, they're sexy. They're smooth. The one he does with Ashlyn Craft. I'm obsessed with Ashlyn Craft though.
Yeah.
Like, I love her, but he's different. And Morgan, I teeter back and forth on, cause I really love his shit. I really love his shit, but I feel like he's going to lose his fucking mind because he doesn't want to do what everybody else wants him to do. And I think they're going to shunning him. I don't know how that situation is even going to kind of play itself out yet.
I think the best thing for him to do would be to own what he's doing right now. I think, you know, he just put out that huge album and it got more streams than like any other album ever. So I think he just needs to keep running with the whole, like, you know, I do what I want thing. And, you know, he's made some mistakes in his career. I don't know him personally. So I feel like if I don't know you personally, I can't have a problem with you. I don't have a problem with him. And, you know, I'm not going to judge somebody off of what I see in the media ever, because I wouldn't want someone to do that to me. So, but no, I like his music. I mean, I play Wasted on You at a lot of shows I play. That's, you know, cool. What I mean?
I love that song.
Yeah. So,
I think it's because the day and age we live in, that's why anybody's considered that he's done anything wrong. I don't think he's done anything wrong whatsoever. If you were to give me that much money and that much talent, and he women love him, they think he looks good, and he's in his 20s, 99% of males are going to fucking do everything that he did. I know I would. I would be bad.
Yeah.
I just think he's young and having fun.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think, like, it's so much pressure for a young – I mean, everybody wants to talk shit, but he's only like 28 or 29 or something like
baby.
That.
He's a baby.
Yeah, it ain't like he's, you know, lived out his years or anything like that. And I understand, you know, he just had a kid and everything, but the dude is also on such a mega level of stardom that's a lot of pressure to put on a young kid, you know, to make the right decisions every time. So I'm not like, dude, I still go out and get hammered with my buddies at the bar, you know, like I just don't have a camera on me, you know? Yeah.
I hate that people take advantage of folks, whether it's you, me, or people that are way bigger than us. Like you said the right thing right here. You still go out and you have a good time with your buddies and get hammered. I do too.
Yeah.
We don't have like a spotlight shining on us. They're doing the same exact thing we're doing. They're just cutting loose. Yeah. They're having fun. Why should they be judged any different than we are?
Exactly. And we put these people like celebrities on a pedestal, you know, and we say stuff like, oh, you got to always act like you have a camera on you. Like, okay, that might be true. You know, they're in a different situation than we are. But at the same time, like, how are you going to make or break somebody's career, whole life that they've put everything into, off of like one sentence?
Yeah.
Or one situation. It's just like if somebody came out and said, you know, it's like Chris Stapleton came out and said something about how the country needs to do better when it, you know, comes to terms with we're talking about racism.
Yeah.
And it seemed like everybody was all over him for that. It's like, dude, he said one thing that he believed. Like, what the hell, you know?
See, I don't even care that he believed it. Here's my thing with musicians and that. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. I don't care what your opinion is. If I like your music, I'm not fixing to stop listening to Chris Stapleton because he said something. Half the time when an artist says something like that anyway, it is more than likely that their management company is telling them they have to fucking say that.
Yep.
Yeah, if you that all that shit with like Luke Combs and Upchurch and all that bunch of garbage. If like it pissed me off, I ain't got nothing in the world against Upchurch. Country rap or whatever you want to call it ain't my thing, but I don't knock nobody. If you like it, you like it. Hey, if it makes you have a good time, the guy you was talking about earlier, Jelly Roll,
yeah,
I think he is one of the fucking best people in music. I think without a doubt, he is one of the best people in music, and I cannot name you five of his songs. I don't know him musically, but I see the love and support he gets, and I hear the things he says, and it's like, oh, this guy is fucking where it's at. Like, I can get behind this guy. But when you had Upchurch attacking Luke Combs, it's just like, why? Why would you take this shot at this man? And you know he has to do this.
Right.
Upchurch might be worth a lot of money and making a lot of people happy, but he ain't selling out arenas or nothing like that. Chris is doing what he's got to do.
Yeah, man. That whole thing just felt like some high school drama that I just did not did not want to be a part of. And that's the whole thing with it anyway, you know, like I don't want to feel like if I go to Nashville or if I go to a certain place to start making music and stuff and start putting out music on a, you know, bigger scale like that, where I have a label team behind me or something like that. I don't want to feel like I'm in some high school cafeteria and everybody's chirping, you know. I don't really give a shit what you're talking about. You know what I mean? I just want to put out my music, and if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. But I'm not here to, you know, I'm not here to impress anybody or make it, you know, cater to anyone. I'm just here to like bring value to my fans and, you know, bring happiness or some kind of feeling to them. And as long as I'm feeling that obligation, then I think that's the only obligation I really need to feel.
Oh yeah, me and you's gonna be buddies.
Yeah, me
and you are buddies. I'm definitely – one thing I didn't tell you, like, before this or whatever, like, we book shows. Like, I put together shows and stuff, and I'm putting together probably one in September that I'll probably holler at you about when we get done with all this today that I think I'd like to get you and the guy you were talking about a while ago, Warren.
Yeah,
I think y'all two doing a show for me and making at this really big bar – Stapleton's played there, but me and the owner were just talking on Saturday before Stapleton blew up. He had Stapleton there. He's had Hardy. He's had Wallen.
Yeah.
He's had all these people, and it's just cool. But speaking of making people happy, I want you to get that guitar of yours, and I want you to play the Pills and Liquor song for everybody, including myself.
Yeah.
And tell the story behind it. Like, like songwriters round. Tell a little info on it.
Right. So I wrote this song. This was like the first song I had written that actually like did well on my social media. So when I put this out on TikTok, I did like a little joke thing, you know, like, I don't know if Post Malone likes country music, but I bet if he does, he'd like this song. And then it just took off, you know, it got like 700,000 views, and at the time I thought that was a fuck ton, you know what I mean? So
it is a fuck ton. Don't let other people confuse you. That's a lot.
Right. So I put the song at I hustled trying to find, you know, a place to record and put the song out. And then I put like just an acoustic iPhone sessions is what I call them now out on my YouTube channel, and it's got like 500,000 streams on there. And so I was like, I gotta get this song out. And then we put it out. And it was like for 3 days or in 4 days, it had like 9,000 streams, which I was completely happy with. And then my hometown radio station played it on the radio, and I posted a video about it on TikTok. And that video that I posted about it got 15 million views. And I was like, holy shit. And it sent that song to number 6 on the iTunes country chart. And it was just, you know, a dream come true. And that's where it all started, you know? So I'll always credit this song to that, but I mean, it's just been a wild ride since then. But yeah, this is Liquor and Pills. I hope y'all like it.
Well, I'm trying talking to my mama, 'cause I can see how much it kills her to see me all strung out. But I just can't take now. I'd be lying if I said that I was over it. But I guess I found something to help me forget. Part of me is addicted to numb, and part of me just can't live with the things I've done. Yeah, but the liquor and pills will take away the pain and let me forget about yesterday. And not even you can be the way they make me feel. Yeah, well, the liquor and pills won't break my heart, and I don't care if they tear my world apart, 'cause you already did that to me. But the liquor and pills will never leave. About making it big, and you were always right there with me. I pray this song was number one, and maybe you'll come back then. And I felt that when Luke Holmes said, some things just go so damn good together, like the way this person hits with a fan of Southern. And I'm sick and tired of having this fight, but I just keep hoping that one day you might. Yeah, baby, you might change your mind. Yeah, but the liquor and pills will take away the pain and let me forget about yesterday. And not even you can be the way to make me feel. Yeah, well, the liquor and pills won't break my heart, and I don't care if they tear my world apart. You already did that to me. But the liquor and pills will never leave. But yeah, the worst part about this is I do it all again. All the heartache, 'cause you'll always be right where mine is. Yeah, but the liquor and pills take away the pain and let me forget about yesterday. And not even you can be the way to make me feel. Yeah, well, the liquor and pills won't break my heart, and I don't care if they tear my world apart, 'cause you already did that to me. Never leave.
That is such a fucking banger.
Yeah, it's a good song, man.
Dude, it's so good. I dig that. I dig that so much, man. And for those who don't have it already, it's on iTunes and everything, right?
Yep. It's out there wherever you listen to music, wherever you want to listen to it. That's actually, we got the version that's out right now. We're getting ready to come out with just an acoustic version of it. But the version that's out right now is like a country rock theme, and it's actually a duet with a girl I went to college with, and she wrote her own part to it and everything. It sounds really good.
Dude, that's badass.
Yeah, man.
Now this is so refreshing to hear strong lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
This is so so refreshing to hear somebody that ain't scared to put out something like that.
Man, I think, like, I can tell within myself, you know, the bigger I get on social media, the more I'm like, I feel the pressure of trying to write something that I think people are going to listen to. So a lot of times I'll have to sit and write songs that I know I'm never going to show anyone that, you know, are just like completely off the wall, like shit that'll bring me back, you know, shit that'll make me remember what I used to go through when I was working on the road, or like, you know, just thinking of times when I had to watch, you know, go pick up my buddy when we were getting ready to go to work, and picking him up and seeing him cry because his little girl standing in the door, you know, banging on the door and shit like that. So removing myself, you know, from that life that I used to have, you know, working on the road and stuff like that. It's good to bring myself back to that, you know.
You ever listen to any Creed Fisher?
Mm-mm.
You need to check out Creed Fisher. Creed did a show for us a couple months ago. You ain't gonna find him too much on social media. He fucking hates social media. He's a Texas artist, and he's got a really big following in Texas. His lyrics they're like what you just put out. I mean, they're tough.
Right.
He's older. I think he's in his 40s. Worked on Pipeline for 20 years, and he's just real country. The only reason I ask, because you got the same thing written all over you. You got the same vibe and everything written all over you, dude.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I think I love hearing that, because my biggest goal is to stay, you know, as authentic and as real and as relatable as possible, because fans deserve that, you know. Fans deserve music like that. You know, there's a time and place for all that beer drinking stuff. And don't get me wrong, I write party songs too, but
everybody does.
You know, when it comes to putting out music and stuff like that, you know, I want to be talking about my boys back home, or, you know, real shit that people go through. You know, write songs for the guy who's, you know, sniffing cocaine in the bathroom, because maybe one day if he hears my words, he'll think of a better way, you know, to do something or to deal with that. So,
yeah, well, it's, people don't want to hear fake too much anymore. They're tired of everybody always,
yeah,
just being sweet to them or whatever. Like, that's not real life.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to be able to turn on something and feel like, hey, this guy that I'm listening to, I can relate to. We've been through the same shit.
Exactly, man. And I think, you know, for me, that's why I'm such a huge fan of Coe Wetzel. He had such a different sound that when I first started listening to him, I didn't know if I liked him. And then the more I listened to him, I was like, dude, this dude bops, because he just doesn't give a shit. I mean, like, the whole album Sellout, you know, people were like, oh, this thing is trash. It's trash. And it's like, dude, he put a lot of songs on there that were basically just giving a middle finger to all the people that were talking shit on him for signing a label deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, acting like he wasn't going to be able to do whatever the fuck he wanted. And he showed him he can do whatever he wants.
I just, like, I got, I think the guy's name's Otis. Maybe. I got to look it up. So one of his guitar players and another guy reached out to him. I noticed we were friends on social media and everything. So they're doing a show later on in July. Like, I don't think Coe is part of it. I told him he could obviously be part of it, but the guy also writes his own music. So, but I'm interested in asking them just how unique he is. Cause I feel like he is the most unique, weird, I don't give a fuck motherfucker that's came along in a long time.
I guarantee it, dude. We got this. He reminds me of this guy I know from my hometown that just, like, I mean, just off the wall, doesn't give a shit about nothing. Just, I mean, I've seen this, the guy, like, I feel like Coe Wetzel's the kind of guy that would, like, eat a goldfish on a dare. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's exactly, I literally watched my buddy, you know, do some crazy shit like that. So I don't know, man. I think that it's just like you said, you know, real music is coming back, and it's, you know, with TikTok, I think that's where social media can be hurtful and it can be very helpful, because now the trend is to get back to real music and real lyrics and stuff. And you're seeing all these artists come out and start putting out really good, really good stuff. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Priscilla Block right now. Also, I relate to a lot of her songs, you know. Just, she's got a great feel. She's got a great sounding voice, you know.
She's such a good person too. The person that everybody sees in public or sees, like, on social media, that's her.
Right.
That, I don't know her as well as a couple of my friends, but a couple of my friends before she blew up was with her every single day. Right. And they rave about what just a good human being she is. She deserves everything that she's getting.
Right. And I mean, like, well, it's like you said, all the artists I've met and got to talk to through TikTok, you know, Warren, Rashad, Tyler Booth, you know, I don't know Priscilla, but Trey, I got to talk to him for like 10 minutes one time. Great guy. I think these guys are all really good people. I think they write real. I think they put out really good music, and they're not trying to fit some mold. You know, they're not trying to cater to what'll get them the biggest deal, anything like that. You know, I think I'm a huge Colby Cooper fan too.
I like Colby Cooper, dude.
Yeah. So I think like that's where social media has helped, because it's started throwing out some of these artists that normally people probably wouldn't listen to. I mean, Pecos and the Rooftops is another big band for me.
This damn song is a fucking all-time banger.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you know who Giovanni and the Hired Guns are, but they're like one of my major influences.
I don't think I know who they are, honestly. You have to tell me to look up some of their songs.
Yeah, they're like a Texas country alternative band. Okay. But I mean, they slap. So, but yeah, like I said, it's just about being real. And I'm never going to personally, unless somebody comes at me, you know, I'm never going to disrespect anybody else's grind or anything like that, you know, unless they come for me or whatever, because then I'll have some words to say. But other than that, I mean, I'm not going to disrespect anybody else's grind. Whatever kind of music you want to put out, as long as you're bringing value to people that are listening to you, then I don't care. But, you know, I'm not going to listen to everyone out there either. I'm going to listen to the people that I like to listen to. And, you know, I think most people are like that. And I think the whole trend is coming back around to where you don't have to be so genre based. You can just put out real music and people will vibe to it. So,
yeah, I don't understand the genre based thing that much. Like, I didn't grow up that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I started putting out these songs that, like, I put out under, you know, country and rock are probably the only two genres I'll probably ever go under. Maybe alternative, but when it comes to, like, formally releasing songs. But I've started putting out under the rock genre after my first two songs. That's where I went with it, because I felt like that's kind of vibe that it fit best with. The secondary genre obviously is country, but I think there's a big middle ground there with the rock genre that can be, you know, either one way or towards the country way, you know, stuff like that. And I don't think it's that big a deal. Kid Rock.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about Travis Tritt in the early 90s with Southern, he influenced Southern rock and country and blues and country so much. Travis Tritt's one of my all-time faves. And you go back and listen to his stuff, and he was doing it back then. It's just now, like, I think because rock has changed so much, I think that's why it sounds different to folks. That's why it sounds like
– absolutely.
I've heard people describe Coe Wetzel as country grunge. And it's okay, it kind of makes sense. I kind of get it.
Yeah, for sure, man. And that's what I'm saying. You know, like, I think when I was growing up, I was listening to a lot of, you know, Clay Walker and the stuff like that. But I was also, you know, when I got into high school, I was also listening to, like, Of Mice and Men, some really heavy metal bands. One of my favorite bands right now is Spirit Box. They're a heavy metal band. Memphis Mayfire is, like, one of my favorite bands of all time. And Mayday Parade, too. I used to listen to them constantly, you know, and they're pop punk. So I just wanted to write music that I felt like meshed all my influences together, you know, as far as sounds go, and then lyric wise put, you know, my unique vocals on them and my uniqueness to my lyrics and relatable lyrics and stuff like that. Because, like I said, I'm not going to claim to be the best singer out there. When you listen to my songs, you can hear, you know, the rawness, you can hear the mistakes in my vocal tracks, you know what I mean? And I think that's,
that. I like that though.
Right. That shows your authenticity, you know. You know, everybody bitches about everybody using auto-tune and shit like that, but, like, we all do it. It's a tool that we can use now. So, you know, I use it on some of my tracks, but I also, you know, let people hear how I sound in the booth, you know? Like, when you hear me on that track, that's pretty much how I recorded it, you know? So.
That's cool. Well, dude, I'm going to get you to play one more before we get out of here.
Yeah.
But, I think you are going the right direction. I think you're very nice. Young guy, you're 24 years old, so you really ain't got nowhere to go but up. Somebody's gonna end up paying you a lot of attention real soon. Your lyrics are too strong for them not to.
Yeah, we've got some things in the works now. I think with as big as we got on social media, you know, I think it was hard for people not to look
good,
at me. So
good, you deserve it. Well, tell them about this song, play it, and then I'll tell everybody bye.
Yeah, so this song I wrote is the second song I came out with, and it's probably my, like, I guess you could say underrated, most underrated song out there. But it's just a song about chasing my dreams, you know, when liquor and pills was getting ready to come out and stuff. I had quit my job right before it came out, and I didn't really, I was going to try music full time. I had a little bit of cash saved up from working, you know, welding and stuff. And so I wrote this in quarantine, and it's just about, you know, whether or not I'm going down the right path in life, whether I'm making the right choices. And I think everybody feels that way, you know, when you get into situations, whether it be like relationships or paths with your career or anything like that. I think it's a very relatable song, so I hope you guys like it. It's called Give Me a Sign.
I've been down this road many times before, and I don't want to feel lost anymore. It's too much this time. I'm tired of trying to read between the lines, so I fold my hands by my head and give this a try. This God, I ain't asking to win the lottery. You know I ain't asking to live forever. I just want to know if that girl's leading me, or if we wind up together. God, I gotta tell you, it's getting hard to keep my faith. I just need to know if I should quit my job or give up on my dreams. And honestly, God, I'm not sure if you're real or if you're just in my mind. But here I am on my knees, so if you're there, God, would you give me a sign? Where you want to go, but I'm still trying to figure out if they just say that for sure. Oh, and I know my time is coming, I'm just scared of the unknown. But if I just knew that you were there, I wouldn't be scared of letting go. This God, I ain't asking to win the lottery. No, I ain't asking to live forever. Wanna know if that girl's leading me on, or if we wind up together. And God, I gotta tell you, it's getting hard to keep my faith. I just need to know if I should quit my job or give up on my dreams. And honestly, God, I'm not sure if you're real or if you're just in my mind. But here I am on my knees, so if you're there, God, give me a sign. God, I ain't asking to win the lottery. You know I ain't asking to live forever. Just want to know if that girl's leading me on, or if we wind up together. God, I got tell you, it's getting hard to keep my faith. I just need to know if I should quit my job or give up on my dreams. And honestly, God, I'm not sure if you're real or if you're just in my mind. But here I am on my knees, so if you're there, God, give me a sign. Give me a sign. Give me a sign.
That's a banger. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, man.
I don't know how I missed that one, dude.
Yeah, it's like one of my probably least publicized and stuff like that. But it was that I wrote that song for me, you know what I mean? And you know, it's like one of them things. I'm a God-fearing man, but I think I find myself in points in my life, or at least I have in my past, and I think a lot of people have, where you question your faith, you know, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think if anything, it brings you closer to God.
It does.
You know, when he shows you, you know, when you're at your your most vulnerable place in life, and you're on your knees and you don't know what is right and what's wrong, you don't know where to turn to, you don't know where to look, and you finally just look to him and say, okay, let me have it, and then he lets you have it, then that's where you find him.
Dude, I dig you. You are solid.
I appreciate that, man.
Not just a good musician, but a damn good guy, too.
Appreciate that, man. You are,
well,
too.
Well, man, I appreciate you doing the show with us, and I'll be hitting you up soon. I think I got a good idea with you and that other fella doing a show for me.
Cool, man. I'm here for it. Just hit me up.
Cool. All right, folks. Well, thank y'all for listening to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey. We will catch y'all next time.